friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's tip off with Cameroonian basketball star Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers. Embiid came up big in the fourth quarter Monday night to lead Philadelphia to a road victory in Boston. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh reports.
Joel Embiid put the 76ers on his back late to carry the team in a 108-103 road win over the Celtics. Embiid scored 9 straight points in the final minute and 22 seconds of play and finished with a game-high 41 points and 10 rebounds.
I got to do it every night. Right now, it's a little tougher because we got a bunch of guys out and haven't been winning, so that was one that we needed.
Seth Curry added 26 points to help the 76ers snap their 3-game skid. Jaylen Brown led the Celtics with 30 points.
We fell short, but we got another opportunity, I guess, on Wednesday in the middle of, kind of everything that's going on the court and off the court. Everybody's dealing with something. We got to be able to adjust and still come out on top. This was a game that we definitely wish we could have back.
The teams had a combined 10 players sidelined in the league's COVID-19 health and safety protocols. Gethin Coolbaugh, Boston.
Thanks, Gethin. Philadelphia's head coach, Doc Rivers, says Joel Embiid was tremendous.
He was awesome. Took his shots. What we talk about with him every day. Make or miss, just get your shot. Get the shot you want. And I thought he did that. I thought Seth did that as well. Execution down the stretch was absolutely perfect.
From Boston, let's go west across the USA to San Francisco, California. That's where the Golden State Warriors recorded their NBA-leading 25th win of the season, and they beat another California-based team. The AP's Ryan Leong reports from San Francisco.
Sacramento was unable to keep up with Golden State, which used a 12-2 run in the fourth quarter to beat the Kings 113-98. Stephen Curry scored a game-high 30 points but made only 4 of 12 from three-point range. With the absence of Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole, both on the COVID protocol list, Draymond Green recorded his 31st career triple-double, 16 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists.
I thought it was good, and, I got to stay that way. As long as those guys are out, just continue to attack the rim, take shots when they're there, because we're missing a lot with those two guys out.
Meanwhile, the Kings have lost 5 of 7 and were missing several players due to COVID, including De'Aaron Fox, Davion Mitchell, and Marvin Bagley III. All 5 starters did score in double digits, led by Tyrese Halliburton with 24 points. Ryan Leong, San Francisco.
Thanks, Ryan. As our Sunny Side of Sports listeners have been hearing, NBA teams and the major U.S. sports leagues overall have been hit hard by the coronavirus, with players sidelined or in quarantine. Let's stay with the NBA. The Utah Jazz scored their 21st win of the season Monday night with a big French player having a starring role. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
Rudy Gobert had 23 points and 21 rebounds as the Jazz knocked off the Hornets 112-102. Gobert went 15 of 16 from the free throw line, setting a new career high for made free throws.
I've been putting a lot of work on the free throws over the years, so every time I shoot, I shoot to make it. And tonight I got an opportunity to get to the line a lot. So it was great.
Bojan Bogdanovic added 23 points for the Jazz, who blew a 22-point lead but finished strong to snap a 2-game home losing streak.
We had a 20 points lead, but second half we couldn't hit any three. We missed a lot of free throws as well. But overall, W is W. I mean, it's not like we wanted, but at the end of the day, who cares?
LaMelo Ball led Charlotte with 21 points and 11 assists before fouling out in the final minute. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. In 3 more NBA results from Monday night, The Chicago Bulls beat the visiting Houston Rockets 133-118. The Oklahoma City Thunder scored a 102-99 road victory against the Memphis Grizzlies. And the San Antonio Spurs defeated the host Los Angeles Clippers 116-92.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Masai Ujiri's Toronto Raptors were scheduled to host the Orlando Magic Monday night, but the game was postponed because of the NBA's COVID-19 health and safety protocols.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Join me for the next Straight Talk Africa. We'll bring you the best of our interviews from 2021. From a unique moment of African camaraderie at the Tokyo Olympics to men and mental health, and what Africa's young people really want. We'll look back at the unfiltered conversations with some of our guests. All this and a lot more on the next Straight Talk Africa. Join me, Haiti Adams, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Thanks, Haiti. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Confederation of African Football's president says the Africa Cup of Nations tournament will take place as scheduled in Cameroon beginning next month. However, construction workers at the stadium hosting the opening match and the final say they doubt it will be ready. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé.
The Africa Football Cup of Nations tournament is scheduled to begin January 9 at Olembe Stadium in Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé. On Monday, Confederation of African Football President Patrice Motsepe visited the 60,000-seat stadium, which is still under construction, less than 3 weeks before the opening match. Motsepe says construction workers are improving on the stadium and he is optimistic Cameroon will be ready for the opener.
There's a huge commitment and a focus to make sure that some of those issues that are being put in place in the next few days, good progress is being made. My message is to Africa and to the world, the people of Cameroon are ready to show the world the best of African football, but also the best of African hospitality. It's going to be a successful AFCON. So come January 9, they must kick off.
Motsepe's visit came amid persistent local media reports that Olembe Stadium would not be ready. Bulldozers dug and arranged routes at the stadium entrance on Tuesday, a day after Motsepe's visit. Several dozen young people transported and planted trees, flowers, and grass that officials say will beautify the facility. Among the workers is 35-year-old building construction engineer Luke Elundu. Elundu says he is not sure the entire parking lot of the stadium will be complete within a week, as requested by the government of Cameroon.
Last month, we were about 1,000 people here, but now I'm seeing not up to 300. Workers are not coming. Why? They work with that money. It's important money to come and work, but they don't have their salary. The work is much. Even more than a year, we don't be able to finish the work.
Jean Fadrick is technical director of the stadium. He says 2,000 workers have been recruited to make sure that before a joint CAF FIFA control mission visits, the stadium is ready for the opening match.
On est en train de finir de mettre en place les derniers matériaux. Une forte mobilisation.
Fadrick says workers are arranging parking spaces for cars that will bring football fans, players and match officials to the stadium. He says the huge mobilization of over 2,000 workers and several hundred compactors and construction equipment within the past 2 months is indicative that Cameroon is bent on finalizing construction work within 1 week. Stadium construction began in March 2017. The government said the facility would be ready for the 2020 AFCON. But in January 2020, the CAF postponed the tournament for a year, saying Cameroon was not ready. The CAF moved the tournament again in January 2021 because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Local media in Cameroon say between COVID-19 and construction delays, the tournament may be postponed yet again. For now, the CAF says the tournament is on. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Thanks, Moki. Let's take a look at the schedule for the opening weekend of action at the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Cameroon. The indomitable Lions of Cameroon, five-time African champions, will host the Stallions of Burkina Faso, the 2013 Nations Cup runners-up, in the opening Group A match on January 9th in Yaoundé. That will be followed by another Group A match between Ethiopia and Cape Verde. On January 10th, the action moves to Group B in Bafoussam, Cameroon. Senegal is matched against Zimbabwe, and Guinea will go against Malawi.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. In disabled sports, a 14-year-old swimmer from Uganda did not win any medals at this year's Paralympics in Japan, but she made a historic splash. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2021, Magume Davis Rakawinj reports from Kampala, Uganda.
Husna Kukundakwe, Uganda's Paralympic swimmer, says she's living her dream. The 14-year-old made history when she competed in the women's 100 meters breaststroke swimming race, where she finished sixth with a personal best of 1 minute 34.35 seconds, slashing her area record of 1 minute 36.31 seconds. At 14 years, Husna is the youngest competitor at the Tokyo Paralympics Games and the first Ugandan paraswimmer at the Games. She told reporters after the race that participating at the Games boosted her confidence and that the journey for her success had just begun.
I feel like I could even touch the clouds because just I'm the youngest here, and just seeing how the others are doing and just swimming with them is... This is kind of the start of my journey, and I'm just really excited to see how far I'll go.
Husna was born with no right lower arm and a slightly deformed left hand. She says growing up, she was at times discriminated against. She says she hopes participation at the Games will help change the attitudes and perceptions the society has on persons living with disabilities.
Most parents who give birth to children with disabilities just abandon them, and sometimes they end up on the streets, like... they become beggars, and just maybe if they watch the Paralympics, when they're watching the Paralympics, they will realize that the choice they made was really bad, and they should have rather supported their children to achieve the dreams that they've wanted to do, and even sports alone can help raise your confidence. And just maybe giving these kids a chance when they see that they're different from other people and they realize that they want to do something, sport can help them raise their confidence, and maybe in the future they will just do whatever they want to do.
But it was always a bumpy road, Husna says. At times, she almost gave up and decided to try out other games like football and basketball.
To be honest, I faced a lot of discrimination in Uganda as a person with a disability, but I didn't really care much about those, but it really hurt the most when I was at a swimming gala and I didn't get a chance to swim a race that I really wanted to do, and that made me feel like I wasn't appreciated in society. That made me feel really different, and after that experience, I stopped swimming for a while and I had to pick my confidence back up to go back for swimming.
Husna's parents are number one fans. Her mother, Hashima Batamuriza, accompanied her to the Paralympics village and says she's equally excited seeing her daughter compete at the world stage.
I feel so proud that we as parents have managed to bring up a child of useful, a child who is useful to the community and to the whole world. Husna is here not only doing swimming, but she has been involved in very many other activities that really make me proud as a parent and as someone who is on the ground. She participated in the main press conference for the Paralympic Games and she performed very well. Of course, as a mother, as a parent, I just get proud and feel like I have really done enough to develop her to what she is today.
And she has a message for other parents raising children with disabilities.
Yeah, of course, as any other child growing up with a disability, Husna faced very many challenges, but when a person with a disability faces discrimination in society, really brings them down. But as a parent, I tried very hard to see that Husna does not suffer that much discrimination, because I kept encouraging her, I kept talking to her. And not only me, but of course the dad, the family, we kept on talking to her, encouraging her, motivating her. And of course, when she started swimming, we became her number one fans and her number one supporters.
And Husna says,
it was just really amazing. I feel really happy and it shows me how I'm progressing. Seeing how I'm progressing wants me to progress more and just keep moving until I get to the point where I can actually get a medal.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakanenge in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Still with the Paralympics, Prince Nesta spoke with a Kenyan woman who played a key role with Team Ghana in Japan.
So my name is Sheila Cleo. Well, I play different roles in the Paralympics. First of all, I'm a consultant for the International Paralympic Committee for the Parasport Against Stigma project in Ghana, Malawi, and Zambia. But specifically for the Paralympic Games, I was there as the Paralympic attaché for the Ghana team, basically overlooking and also doubling as a COVID liaison officer. So I pretty much was overlooking all COVID protocol that the teams had to follow, Ghana team had to follow, and all other general operations of the team regards to participation and their involvement in the Games Village and the overall Tokyo Games.
And talking about that, how different was this from other Paralympics?
Well, first of all, I think we need to appreciate the current times that we live in, definitely. Tokyo 2020, first of all, was postponed by a year. And then came the reality of even after the postponement, we were still experiencing what was second and third wave of this COVID pandemic. So with the time delays, also with the fact that it was happening during a difficult time in what is will be history later, you know, but current affairs, it was very different regulation-wise. There had to be strict protocol to be followed. And so definitely have to commend the local organizing committee, Tokyo 2020, for pulling it through despite everything that took place. I mean, under all the uncertainties, will it happen, will it not? Political pressure, you know, of the people, some saying don't host it. So definitely different from the other games, but in no way did they underperform despite the challenges. I think they did an amazing job.
I really must commend the Paralympics Organization Committee for doing such an incredible job. And what was the general mood in terms of spectatorship?
First of all, I have to say that so for the Tokyo 2020 Games, we did not have spectators. So the people in the stands were definitely the stakeholders who were part of the Games, whether it's coaches, the Paralympic family, you know, the volunteers from the Tokyo 2020 team and athletes, you know, other athletes. So, but still, we did not miss out on the experience, you know. I mean, it would have been great with more people, but I have to say how the Tokyo 2020 team conducted the games is something that the world should learn from. It did not take away the excitement despite all the protocol and even just daily testing of all stakeholders involved at the games. We had daily testing taken on. Any cases that were reported, there was immediate isolation and action was taken. We had less than 20 cases that even popped up, and only one that was hospitalized. You know, the confidentiality that the Tokyo team handled some of these things without, you know, without creating that fear among people. It was a superb coordination. I mean, daily testing, which having an officer to do it, having a clinic that operates, having a COVID unit for any isolation cases, controlling the spectator, allowing people to view. I have to tell you, this was the first time that the Paralympic Games was aired in up to 46 African countries, and it was free to air content every day for an hour. And this meant that, yes, you cannot travel, you cannot be here, but they made it available through TV, through our social media. I have to commend Paralympic social media platform, kept any follower entertained, you know. It was, they found a way through media, you know, and I keep telling people media is powerful. Through media, they found a way to ensure that the people did not miss out while we still observe what is the reality of COVID. So yes, no spectators, but still, every time I stepped out from the Paralympic Village and the different events, although there was a barricade, there were fans. Japanese came out on the streets with social distancing and supported. I mean, it was amazing. Them just appreciating a bus going to an event, and it was amazing.
What were some of your favorite moments, Sheila?
Oh, the Paralympics is always an amazing. I keep telling people and my friends, yeah. The Paralympics offer more than sports. We had a situation where the guide of a runner, of one of the visually impaired runner, proposed after a race. You know, we had the youngest Paralympian, Husna Kukundakwe from Uganda, who really like just put Africa on the map. Very, very confident individual who really like represented Africa in a different way. We had the likes of Ntando, South Africa, who just set a whole, you know, record in the long jump and even in his race. There are so many moments in the games that just take you away. I mean, the performance at the opening ceremony, the closing ceremony, having a performance that actually had persons with disability putting up a performance. And this is part of the things that change perception. I mean, I could go on and on about favorite moments.
That's Sheila Cleo, a consultant for the International Paralympic Committee. And Sheila spoke with Prince Nesta in Nairobi, Kenya. And Prince will be hosting the Sunny Side of Sports on Wednesday and Thursday. And on Friday, Christmas Eve, there will be a special Sunny Side of Sports music show.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to sukus, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. On the African Golf Beat, 16-year-old David Ali won the Nigerian Amateur Masters Tournament on Sunday in Owerri. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the president of the African Tour Golf Foundation, Harris Okata.
David Ali, who came up from David Mack Academy in Otumbo, Plateau State, won the event. It was a four-day event, and he took the lead from day one until the last, to the second day. But on the third day, Anoruo took over from him, but he fought back on the last day to win the Nigerian Masters. He played a very good score on the first 3 days, but the pressure on the last day gave all the players a tough time that they had a whopping score of over six over gross, which is not something like close to what he has played in the previous days. But at the end of the day, he worked his while, and he made about 250,000 naira, which is about $500, which is what at the moment is a standard money for amateur players.
How competitive was the Masters tournament?
The Nigerian Masters was very highly contested. You know, you remember they had about 30 events during the year, and they were all route to the Nigerian Masters qualifying round. And so many players were on events, but as the event progresses, most of them were dropping out because it's called the road or the race to Nigerian Masters. So it was highly contested, and at the end of the day, the young lads who have been playing competitive events week in, week out, were able to prove that they're able to make it. It lasted a four-day event, and the prize money at the moment was the highest money an amateur could earn based on the RNA and the USGA rules. So by next year, the money is going to increase, because now the money for amateur events has equally been increased by the governing body. So it was really a tough event, and it was a very highly contested.
When will the 2022 Masters tournament commence?
For us, the 2022 schedule has been published. It still continues again from January 15th. January 11th, is the first leg to race to Nigerian Masters 2022. The race is going to be about 52 events, which will end the Masters for 2022 the same time in December 2022. Yes, the essence of African Tour Golf Foundation Academy is to be able to produce a young players in the image of Tiger Woods from Africa. And as you can see, Ali is 16, Alex is 17, George is 17. We have young boys, very vibrant, active playing boys at the moment on the academy. And next year, we're having some players coming from Gabon, from Rwanda, and from Cameroon. We have already Ghanaians. So the foundation is going to definitely, in years to come, we produce good quality players.
That's Harris Okata, the president of the African Tour Golf Foundation. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Harris Okata, president of African Tour Golf Foundation. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Up the December 21st edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington.
I get it.
And that's the sunny side of sports.